They just bring feedback. The theme of Christmas year, listen up, grown-ups. That was pretty awesome. And Mom is very proud. I see she's recording for this precious moment to share with the world. And we get, listen up, grown-ups. Welcome to One Church. Well, there is an old story in Greek mythology. It's officially recorded and authored around the time of Jesus, and it's an origin story of one of their heroes. His mother had been told that he was going to die at a really young age. And the mom gets scared and nervous and tries to figure out how it is that she can prevent that from happening. And goes through all these situations, all these possible ways that she could save her son. And finally she decides that she is going to dunk her child in the river Styx, which is the river that goes to the underworld. And so she holds her child underwater, picks the child back up, because her understanding is that if he's able to go into this water, he'll be immortal. And so she works up the courage. She does this. She holds him down. And after that day, he is unable to be harmed except for where she had held Achilles. And she had dunked him. So as a young man, he goes into battle. He feels like he's immortal because he is. And he fights everyone, and he's got bravery and courage until an arrow hits his heel. And that arrow ends his story because, well, that part of him was not immortal. The story came to mind this last week when I was talking to a therapist friend of mine who mentioned how busy he is before the holidays. I knew he'd be busy after, but he's like, oh no, I'm swamped beforehand, because everybody's trying to like put their armor on. Everyone's trying to be protected and guarded. And he talked more about how we feel vulnerable about people who know us well or could know us well, or maybe we feel like should know us well. And probably part of that is they know where our heel is, right? They know where we're most vulnerable. And no matter what, none of us want to leave this time of year hurting. We don't. But it's more than facing family. We fight against death, illness, disease, sin. This has been the human story all along. Humans have always wanted to be as close to immortal as we can. We want to run away from the vulnerability of it all. And there are some days where some of us feel especially aware of our vulnerability. This week I helped with a repast after a funeral, and you saw people well aware of vulnerability. After a near car accident or a rattling email or phone call or doctor's report or just waiting on that report. Others of us constantly live aware of how vulnerable we are. Their bodies tell them, culture tells them. Some privately without everyone knowing, others publicly vulnerable. Their need for support and protection is open for all to see. And that's what's so astonishing to me this year as I've been reading over the Christmas story. As humanity has worked to be less vulnerable, as we have tried to go towards immortality, trying to live the longest, the best, more protected against needs of care, this Messiah that we celebrate came in the opposite direction. Jesus came telling a story the opposite of the story of Achilles. And in that story, in that telling, he rewrote all of ours. And so for a minute, I want to read over what probably most of us know of as the Christmas story. It's the one that's in Charlie Brown. It's the one that my kid brother would read every year, and we didn't open a present until he finished, and he read slow. But I'm going to read these few verses over us, because sometimes just hearing scripture is what sparks things in us. That's how God works oftentimes. So let me read this. It's 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken, Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her birth to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus is so committed to being with us that he came as a baby, this helpless form. He came needed to be changed and fed and moved. He came to a young mom whose body had to recover from his delivery, who did this without the comforts of hospital and modern medication and any of that, to a young dad who was trying to figure out how to provide for his family away from home. He was born in infancy. He was a refugee. Because a king was not only trying to kill little boys who were the same ethnicity as him, but the king was actually eliminating all little boys because of him. He went into a foreign land, hearing a foreign language. We don't know if he was wanted there. We don't know if his family was welcomed, or if they were extremely vulnerable. But we do know that he knew lack, he knew loss, he knew heartache, and all of that as a child. Philippians 2 says it this way. It says, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Now, we know that in our creation account in Genesis, we're created to be like God in the image of God. But as sin and death started to tarnish us as people, God's plan was to send Jesus to be born in our likeness. That's wild, right? Like, we do a lot of work to bash ourselves, to see ourselves certain ways, and then God's plan is to send Jesus looking like us. That's beautiful. It's profound. And all the advantages that Jesus has as God, he surrendered to be with us. That's what his name is, right? Emmanuel. God with us. Now, in this last year, working with Pastor Rob at Goodwill Summit at the beginning of the year, and then going through my surgeries and all that, I've learned a little bit more from the vulnerable. The need for safety and protection is real. There are way, way too many people in this city who are not safe, who are not protected. Way too many without homes, way too many in homes who don't know safety and protection, way too many that they are in a home that looks like a family unit or something, but it's not safe. And then even family units that on their block don't feel safe because of their beliefs or because of their gender, their ethnicity, their sexuality, all sorts of different ways we have of taking protection and safety from people. It's happening in the city. And the fragile nature of life is more true than I want to admit. And some of us live aware of this for a season. And some of us live our entire life painfully aware of our vulnerability. Yet in this culture, I watched this year very, very real stories of where the people who need safety and protection the most can't find it. Instead, we tend to protect the armored, and we tend to expose the vulnerable. Now, these last few weeks here, we've been talking about a willingness to trust, right? And for me, someone who's pretty safe and protected, that's a good news, and that's a step I need to take. But it's a big ask to ask of someone who's vulnerable. Someone who's already in need of protection, already in need of security. The words "just trust" can actually feel abusive because they've often been used as abusive. And everything seems to skip by the vulnerable, except when it comes to something like this. We make sure to catch someone's attention, someone who's vulnerable, and say, "Well, make sure you trust." But Jesus doesn't begin by saying, "Trust." He gets there. But he begins by becoming like us. And when I say like us, I don't mean white male U.S. citizen person in power. That would be like if he came as a Roman, right? He came as an underprivileged. He came vulnerable, like us. His very first invitation to follow him was to someone who had no place to sleep. He said, "Follow me. I have room for you to sleep." The very first invitation wasn't to go follow him into something scary and risky. Those come, particularly for those who are. But the very first invitation is to find rest. His words to Nathanael were that when Nathanael thought that no one saw him, he said, "No, I saw you under that tree. I saw you." That's the message of the out, right? I see you grieving. I see you aching for things to be set right. I see you needing justice because you were harmed. The kingdom is yours. And in that experience of being seen, we're invited to trust that Jesus is doing something on our behalf, working and inviting us to work alongside of him. What's striking is in this world, the best we can imagine, best is that we might be able to dip our loved ones into the water Styx, arm them, and teach them to blend in and stay hidden. But we're not in this world alone. Our Messiah has come as a helpless baby in a manger, in a distant place, vulnerable yet overcoming. And his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us, offering us a different water, a way to be made new, defined by him, a way where vulnerability doesn't have to be hidden because he's with us. And he's not with us sightseeing. He's not with us in a way of making himself feel okay and then abandoning us. He's setting everything right, healed and whole. He's given an eternal protection that goes beyond the breaths we take on this earth. And he is risen, and we will as well. And so to those who are vulnerable, publicly or privately, because of what's happened in their life, because of ways their bodies betrayed them, or relationships have, because of demographic categories, are one deems vulnerable, or however you came to this vulnerability, you might know the hope that comes from the words Jesus says, "In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The one who knows your vulnerability is with you, and he has overcome. He will lead you to do the same. He leaves nobody faceless or nameless. You're God's child because he said so. Redeemed by God's beloved Son, Emmanuel. Some of us find ourselves not very vulnerable, culturally or in our body. This message is for us as well. We may be in a place that feels like we have that protection that Achilles knew. But there's a Christmas message for us. For you, it is to come and follow. Live in safety and protection. The message is actually, then pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus from the manger to the cross to the right hand. Follow Jesus as Jesus goes to your neighbor and allows your neighbor to inherit the earth. Follow Jesus to the hurting, to the disinherited, to the lonely. Follow the unimpressive shepherds and the far-off magi, the vulnerable and the fragile, as they see God. Join Jesus in this upside-down world, setting it right again. See, this Christmas, the invitation to all of us, specifically us at this little one church right here, is to see that Jesus is with us, actively working in us and with us. We can breathe that in. No, he's not done yet. And knowing we don't have to just hide our Achilles and all our vulnerable places. But Jesus sees us, including that, and wishes us wholeness, not harm. Our vulnerable, broken selves are the very type that he sees and makes whole. And so we can join in his restoring this Christmas season. I want to pray for us and with us that in very tangible and real ways we experience Emmanuel today, tomorrow, this week. So would you pray with me? Jesus, thanks for how you came. Sometimes I try to imagine what it felt like knowing what it felt like before to be you, and then to lay all that aside and feel that first air on your skin and the first ache hit your stomach when you were hungry. The first condescending looks. Thank you. And when you say that you see us and that you know us, you're saying that as somebody who has walked pretty similar paths. And when you say that we're your beloved, that you say that from the depths of who you are. So this week, may we experience you as Emmanuel. May we know you. May we see you in the faces of those we love. Feel your presence as we have a cup of coffee or we look to the skies or wherever you want to meet us, may we notice. Thanks. In your name. Amen.